Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you have a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Of course, remember, before we get started, hit that like button. Otherwise, I'm going to punch you in the throat. This new intro just rolls off the tongue. But with that said, let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is the massive update on the story around Austin Jones. Now, we've been following and covering this case for a while, but if that name does not sound familiar to you, here's a quick recap. Austin Jones was a YouTuber that became known for a cappella covers of popular songs. Then, in 2015, accusations emerged that Jones had contacted underage girls and asked for explicit videos. Then, in a video posted on his channel, he admitted to asking for twerking videos, but denied asking for anything further than that. But then in 2017, he was arrested for soliciting explicit videos from two underage girls, one 15 and the other 14. And of note here, it's not like he was tricked. Jones acknowledged their ages multiple times throughout their interactions. Interactions that involved him instructing them as to what to send in order to prove that they were his biggest fan. Then, in February of this year, Jones pled guilty to one count of receipt of child pornography as part of a plea agreement. And of note here, while I say one count, at that time, he admitted to getting six underage girls to send him explicit videos, and on at least 30 other occasions, he attempted to solicit videos from minors on Facebook. His lawyers were seeking the minimum sentence of 5 years, asking the court to consider Jones's history of abuse at the hands of his father and his commitment to therapy. But on Friday, the big news is that Austin Jones was sentenced to double the mandatory minimum. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, with U.S. District Judge John Lee saying, "I don't think it'd be an exaggeration to say the victims here were probably some of his biggest fans who cared so much about him and yet for whom Mr. Jones cared so little." Adding, "I realize that you yourself suffered a great deal while you were growing up, and I am deeply sorry for the treatment you received from your own father. But Mr. Jones, you of all people should know the tremendous harm that you were causing these girls that you targeted and preyed upon when you were doing it." And we saw Homeland Security Special Agent in Charge James Gibbons say, "Today's sentencing of Austin Jones represents a major step towards justice for the young victims whom he manipulated and exploited." All that said, as of right now, Austin Jones is actually not in police custody. Judge Lee allowed Jones to stay at home until a hearing today, at which point the judge will hear from Jones's mental health treatment providers. But that is where we are now, seemingly the final update in a story that we have covered for a long time. With all that said, I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this? You know, given the details we knew in the past, the numbers we know now, six underage girls, could have been as many as 30 had they actually sent something. What do you think about this punishment of 10 years? Do you think it's too little, too much? Any and all thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Then, unfortunately, that wasn't the only negative reason we had YouTubers in the news over the weekend. Reportedly, on Saturday, YouTuber Jake Paul threw a party for the rapper Designer at his home in Calabasas. The party had big names in attendance, people like his brother Logan, Lamar Odom, Chris Brown, Tana Mojo, and Bella Thorne. But many reports are now saying that this party got out of hand and that there are girls at this party that may have even been drugged. According to a Facebook post in a group called Moms of Coneo Valley, a mother claims that her daughter was one of the victims. Allegedly posting on Sunday, she ended up in the hospital with eight other girls who had been drugged and ended up at West Hills Hospital incoherent. Something was put in their drinks. The girls were all half naked and unable to walk or talk. And adding, they were made to sign a disclaimer at the door. And also adding that she would be contacting the authorities to report this incident. Of note, it's unclear the ages of these girls, but in the post, the mother did say this was a warning to those with teen daughters. Also saying that the party had a lot of young people. However, she didn't say how old her daughter or the other girls who were allegedly hospitalized were. So, around this, we reached out to the authorities with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, and they said that on Sunday, an adult woman came to a branch of the LASD and reported being drugged at the party. They also said that they are in the early stages of investigating the report, and that they were aware of the post in the Moms of Coneo Valley page, and that they were trying to reach out to the mother who posted, but they did not have information on the relationship between the two reported incidents. Also, we saw reports that an Instagram post from an account that appeared to be Los Angeles County Fire Station 68 also said that they had responded to incidents at Jake's party, with a caption reading, "Engine 68 and Squad 68 spent the majority of Saturday night transporting multiple patients from a party thrown by YouTuber Jake Paul." However, a big note here, that account has since been deleted, but right now several reports do say that the LAPD received noise complaints and heard the party was getting out of hand, and adding that the only injury that was reported was from an elderly neighbor who fell as a result of the noises scaring her. Although other reports indicated that someone at the party was arrested for public intoxication and that two others may have been transported to the hospital for being unwell. But ultimately, that's where we are with the story right now. I had a lot of people requesting and sending us information about this. But one of the big things I want to hit on, and those of you who have watched this show, Jake Paul is no friend of mine. We have allegations being made online. Right now, the authorities are investigating. Obviously, while people will hold the person who's throwing a party accountable, so far there's nothing that has indicated that Jake was directly involved with the alleged drugging at this party. And it just seems way too early to say anything definitive right now. But with all of that said, of course, I'd love to know your thoughts around all of this. And then, finally, this is going to be the last of the kind of internet person stories. In an ideal world, I try to make it so that it's not just internet person did bad things.
thing because I think it makes us all look bad.
Over the weekend, we had the 11th annual Shorty Awards, awarding those in the digital space.
And I will say, the Shorty Awards is like this weird mishmash award show.
Right, they have categories like Breakout Creator of the Year.
This year, that was awarded to the fantastic Peter McKinnon. But then they also have an award for Video Pre-Roll, which I will say, congratulations to Honda Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles Pre-Owned Pre-Roll.
You did it, we all knew you could.
And while a little odd, it's also really smart because they get a lot of the name value with the creators, but then they also bring the marketing world in with so many marketing awards.
But I will say, on this show, we only care about the creators because they are the ones creating and also giving us thumb value. So congratulations to the other big creators.
We had a small upstart creator by the name of Ariana Grande
winning Storyteller of the Year,
Ninja winning Twitch Streamer,
Ricky Thompson winning Instagrammer of the Year,
Vlogger of the Year going to Ryland Adams,
Best YouTube Ensemble, The Try Guys.
And for YouTuber of the Year, you had the nominees Tana Mojo, James Charles, Guava Juice, Emma Chamberlain, David Dobrik.
But it ultimately, and seemingly unsurprisingly, if you've watched any YouTube over the past year, it went,
oh, I just realized PewDiePie wasn't nominated.
Went to Shane Dawson, who of course has had just a crazy year. So congratulations to all the winners, to everyone who lost. You are worth nothing. You don't matter. No one really likes you. All of those likes are fake bots.
You should really look into getting a backup job because things are not looking good.
Not really. I just appreciate the attention the digital space gets now. It's more and more every day. And I think for creators, the most important thing is you enjoy your day-to-day life and what you're putting out there. And if you're not, it's probably not gonna pan out well for you. I feel like we have a lot of creators out there working short-term schedules for their long-term life, and it's not good. How did I turn a positive story into a negative?
What is wrong with my brain?
Then let's briefly talk about the updates in Brunei. And if you didn't see our previous coverage about Brunei, the country last month implemented new laws that would make it, and this is real, that would make it that if you committed adultery or there was a man having sex with another man, that was punishable by stoning. They could now legally stone you to death. Right, and following this, there was mass outrage. You had celebrities speaking out, people boycotting. You had people like George Clooney leading boycotts against Brunei-linked hotels. And the big update today is that in response to all of this, the Sultan of Brunei has now somewhat backpedaled, saying, according to France 24, a moratorium on capital punishment will also extend to Sharia laws that include stoning to death for gay sex and adultery. Although before you start rejoicing and you're like, yeah, we made Brunei a better place.
In Brunei, homosexuality is and was already illegal.
And in fact, it is punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
And so obviously, while a moratorium on the death penalty is great news, it also paints a pretty sad picture that that's the good news.
The two grown adults who are born the way they are, having something consensually that's not affecting anyone else.
That not only are you othered, but you and what you do, it's illegal, but we're not gonna kill you. So that's the give.
You're welcome.
And it's also sad when you remember, yes, we're focusing on Brunei here, right? It got so much attention, but there are other big offenders out there.
And this is actually something George Clooney hit on in one of his op-ed pieces after a lot of people said, well, why are you just focusing on Brunei? Where Clooney wrote, for those that want to play whataboutisms, what about Saudi Arabia, Iran, Sudan, Somalia? There's a long list.
Well, then get to it.
And adding, sunlight is the great disinfectant. Boycotts are sunlight. You can't make the bad guys be good, but you can stop the good guys from being complicit.
And that last thing is really important, not just for Brunei, but for any sort of social change that we want to see.
Because yes, well, shows like mine, you have the George Clooneys of the world adding their name value to get the media to cover this story.
It was also getting other people, and more specifically other companies, to say, no, we can't work with Brunei.
Right, something that was talked about less because it didn't have George Clooney's beautiful face on it.
You had banks including Morgan Stanley, Deutsche Bank, Citi, and Nomura banning staff from using 9 hotels owned by the Sultanate.
Transport for London removed adverts promoting Brunei as a tourism destination.
STA Travel stopped selling flights on Royal Brunei Airlines.
You know, and you look at all these things that impacted Brunei, and you remember that life truth.
Money moves mountains.
You want to have an impact more important than ever, you go for the wallet.
But that's a story as it is right now. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as this moves further.
Good news in a still horrible and ridiculous situation.
And then let's talk about massive news around the Boeing 737 MAX 8 tragedies and controversy.
Now, back in March, we talked about the Ethiopian Airlines plane that crashed, killing all 157 people on board.
Immediately, we saw people drawing lines between that crash and the Lion Air crash in Indonesia just 4 months earlier that killed all 189 people on board. And most significantly, both planes were 737 MAX 8s,
with the pilots of both of those planes reporting issues and requesting to return from the airports that they took off from, but they didn't make it back.
Following the incident, we saw tons of countries grounding their MAX 8s until Boeing investigated the situation.
We also saw a lot of pilots coming forward saying that they had not been fully informed about software changes to the MAX 8's autopilot and that they had actually not been trained to use the new software,
with the pilot specifically referencing a new feature that causes the plane to automatically correct the plane's level if its sensor thinks that it's flying at an angle that puts it at risk of stalling.
And this was huge because investigations from both the Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines crash
crashes found that this software was engaged, and it caused the noses of both planes to be pushed down repeatedly. Boeing initially responded to the pilots by arguing that there shouldn't be a problem as long as pilots followed procedures, although Boeing's CEO later said that the company would update the MAX 8 software and provide training. But throughout the whole process, Boeing executives have denied that there is anything wrong with the planes. That is, until yesterday. On Sunday, Boeing released a statement saying that they were aware of a problem with the MAX 8 safety feature all the way back in 2017, but they didn't disclose the problem to regulators or airlines until after the Lion Air crash. Okay, so what was the problem? Well, according to the statement, within a few months of delivering the MAX 8s, Boeing's engineers found a problem with an essential warning light. The feature, which is called an angle of attack disagree alert, tells pilots if the sensors on either side of the plane are giving contradictory information about the direction of the plane's nose, and Boeing saying that they intended for this feature to be on all the MAX 8s as it had been a feature on the previous generations of 737s. However, after months of delivering the planes, their engineers found that the sensors only worked on MAX 8s, where buyers had also purchased a separate optional safety feature, which basically means that a key safety feature for this airplane that the company says they thought was standard was actually optional, sort of like a premium add-on. And according to yesterday's statement, a review was launched after the engineers discovered the problem. But also writing, that review, which involved multiple company subject matter experts, determined that the absence of the AOA disagree alert did not adversely impact airplane safety or operation. Boeing also saying that they reported the problem to the FAA a year after they knew about it, and the FAA went on to label the problem as low risk, but still told Boeing they should have informed them earlier. And Boeing also saying that they reported the problem to the airlines that operated these planes. Also of note, it does appear that the majority of MAX 8s had this issue. According to the New York Times, only 20% of buyers actually purchased the optional indicator. But on that note, Boeing still maintains that this feature is not essential, writing in a statement, "Neither the angle of attack indicator nor the AOA disagree alert are necessary for the safe operation of the airplane. They provide supplemental information only and have never been considered safety features on commercial jet transport airplanes. But it is important that others disagree. If AOA sensors on the MAX 8 think that the nose of the plane is too high, the automated control system forces the nose of the plane down automatically. And that is exactly what happened to both the Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines planes. Which, in fact, investigators of both crashes found that the faulty sensor gave the system incorrect data, which then forced the nose of the plane down repeatedly." And so you have people and experts essentially saying, logically, it seems like if both of these flights had this safety feature that Boeing itself said tells the pilots that the sensors are giving contradictory information, this seemingly wouldn't have happened. And I'll say, and this is just my personal opinion on this, it is hard for me to trust Boeing here. I mean, it's just this combination of they were not aware that their planes didn't have a key safety feature, and once they became aware, the fact that they didn't disclose that knowledge for a year. Also, the fact that the FAA became aware of this and they designated it low risk, it makes me question their expertise and judgment when it comes to Boeing. Also, on that note, in the effort to be fair, in a statement on Sunday, Boeing has pushed back on the criticism that the aircraft certification system Boeing and the FAA have in place is flawed. Although this is the subject of congressional inquiries, a Department of Transportation panel, and a criminal investigation. And of note, during a congressional hearing in March, the acting head of the FAA stated that the agency's certification procedures, quote, are extensive, well-established, and have consistently produced safe aircraft designs for decades, adding that the FAA was fully involved in certifying the 737 MAX. However, this was also contradicted by Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, who pointed out and said that the FAA has allowed plane manufacturers to help certify that their own aircraft meet safety standards. And this is now the subject of a federal investigation. But that's a story, part of my takeaway, and of course, I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this? And that's where we're going to end today's show. Now remember, if you like this video, you want to support the channel, just take a second and hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, you want any of the 7 videos that we put out every week going to your subscription box, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Also, if you're not 100% filled in, maybe you missed one of the last 2 videos we put out, you can click or tap right there to watch that. Or you can check out more news, more stories over at RogueRocket.com. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.